First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And I always, you know how old that Al Green quote is? It says, I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected. The man is so ignorant, I don't think he's in office anymore, that he's actually admitting that they're impeaching him to stop him from being reelected. I don't know. From where I come from, that's called election interference. Like, I know. Is it really? Yeah, it's election interference. We've seen evidence of it again and again and again. And yet this left radical propaganda media accuses you of being a conspiracy theory when you call election interference from the people who are accusing everyone else of it. Anyway, I could go on, but we have a guest, director of research at Numbers USA, Eric Ruark. I wish I had much more in my notes about you. Tell us a little more about Numbers USA and what you do. And welcome.
Thank you for having me. Numbers USA is the nation's largest single issue advocacy group. Our issue is immigration. And what we advocate for is sensible immigration reform, which is obviously securing the border. But also, when we talk about legal immigration, having an illegal immigration system that, number one, protects American workers and overall is in the interest of American citizens. Interest of American citizens is first and foremost when it comes to policy. Should be. It isn't right now, and that's what we're working to change.
When you say sensible immigration policy, I hear in my head sensible gun laws, okay, that something in our immigration policy needs changing. How about just enforcing the laws we have? Are you advocating any particular laws that need changing?
Well, over, you know, our history has been about the numbers. Obviously, that's Numbers USA. But right now, under the Biden administration, illegal immigration has surpassed legal immigration. And legal immigration since 1990 has been a million a year on average since 1990. That's the number of green cards given out. And so we've advocated for cutting out chain migration, which is, you know, allowing family members to come in, and getting rid of the visa lottery, which we give out 50,000 visas through a lottery system, not on based on merits. We would like to see, obviously, immigration continue, but it continue where we're bringing in actually people who are the best and brightest around the world, and to address what might be in certain sectors a need for workers, but not to say there's a worker shortage in the United States. We have to open up the borders and bring people in when we have Americans here who are willing to do the jobs. But we're also looking, you know, at housing, fiscal cost of providing benefits to people. There's, you know, every issue you can think of, immigration impacts it. But right now we can't talk about, you know, the legal system because the border is wide open, and we have to get control of that before we can have the debate about what the legal system is going to look like going forward.
Are you surprised that it's taken this long for millions? I don't think it's 10 million. I think it is many more than that. They're still coming in. That people who said that, illegal immigrants are just doing the jobs that Americans won't do, which was preposterous, or, you're a xenophobe for not opening your borders to anyone and everyone, and then using public funds to fly them to hotels directly, not even go through immigration. Only when the left watched all these people flood into the big cities, which are already a mess, did they start to say, hey, wait a minute. Are you surprised that it took that extreme a situation for them to wake up about it?
I am surprised because, you know, when we were watching the campaign in 2020, and it wasn't just President Biden, it was all the candidates in the Democratic primary who were basically saying the same thing. We're going to open up the border. Trump's policies are terrible.
He's terrible.
Right.
Right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And we knew it was going to happen, and we thought there'll be a pushback from the public, which there was, but we thought that there'd be some kind of response from the Biden administration, which we did see from the Obama administration. A lot of the things that we're seeing now, the Obama administration tried to do, or at least floated the idea of doing it, and there was political pushback from among members of their own party. Even we're seeing that, of course, now. The Obama administration responded and did put things in place, which weren't as effective as what President Trump did, but they did effectively bring the level of illegal immigration down. And there were people in the Obama White House who put the brakes on these things. What we were surprised about ultimately is that there was no one in the White House, at least who had the ear of the president or whoever's making the policy, who says, look, this is killing us politically. It took 3.5 years for facing an election where this is the number one issue for all voters, not just Republican voters, but all voters across the country. And especially you're seeing inner city, Chicago, New York, black voters who overwhelmingly vote for Democrat, who are up in arms about what this is doing in their communities. Yeah. For they've started to take it seriously, but it's too late, I think, on this issue. And then even after that, President Biden doubled down and seemed to say, this is all Trump's fault, which is, again, very surprising considering no matter what someone out there thinks of Donald Trump, even before, you know, the recent events, they understand that he was much tougher on the border. And I don't think Biden would have been able to sell it, certainly now, because you can shut the border down today and you still have, as you said, millions and millions of people who have come into the country and are still here.
Yeah.
Illegal.
Well, it does astonish me that people you think are reasonable, who are logical, even a family member, get this, a family member in my family, and once removed, said, Governor Abbott was overreacting against illegal immigration in his own state, and kicked up a fuss and then sent some of those illegal immigrants to places in Democrat cities so they could take care of them. He was overreacting. The presumption is that opening your border and giving benefits and not vetting people who are criminals and gang members and child sex traffickers isn't going to visit itself on your doorstep any day soon. How naive and gullible can you get?
You know, when Governor Abbott started busing, and again, people refer to them as migrants, they're inadmissible aliens who have no right to be in the United
illegal
States.
Illegal aliens. And they're being, that's what they are.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, this is a PR gimmick, which it was, but it was very effective because it brought attention to the fact that Texas has been dealing with this for decades. And right. When President Biden came in, they were overwhelmed and they could remain that. So, but what people are starting to see is, and most of the people who cross the border illegally aren't being bussed by either Abbott or DeSantis. They're being transported by our own government with taxpayer money. And so that's one thing people need to realize is that was a drop in the bucket when it comes to people who are entering and relocating throughout the United States. But communities across the U.S. are starting to feel this. And that, I think, to sort of paraphrase the saying, ideology is a heck of a drug, right? When you're in that mindset and it doesn't affect you and politically – you're told something, you hear one side of an issue and it doesn't directly affect you, the impacts of the policy, it's easy for you to brush aside the realities until it comes to your community. I think that's what, I always say, things have gotten so bad, we might actually get to the point where we can have genuine reform. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of that is things have gotten so bad that it's going to take years to address these things and decades to actually fix the damage, if that's possible, because the president of the United States the most powerful man in the world, opened up the U.S. border, claimed that he couldn't stop anyone from coming over that border.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned before, there are millions of people who are in this country who are unvetted. And we don't know who they are, and we don't know what their intentions are. Now, most people coming over want to work, but that doesn't mean everyone
but what,
who's coming
what
over
does that
to work.
Say? We already
that
know.
Play out.
We already know what that says about an administration, about an ideology that has no regard. Tonight, we're going to, I know in the Republican convention, we are going to see Make America Safe Again and people who've been victims of illegal criminal immigrants. And Biden has, and his administration has been absolutely cold and cruel to these people, not caring a whit about them because they want to register these people to vote. Eric Rourke, thank you so much for joining us at Numbers USA. We really appreciate
it. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll have more on The Al and Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Every year around this time, going into peak camping season, Campgrounds of America publishes our Camping and Outdoor Hospitality Report, which is a deep dive into what to expect this camping season. We look at demographics, we look at the amount of people who are camping, but we also look at what campers are telling us that they want from their camping experience. From accommodations to amenities to recreation, we dig into it. This year, our campers are telling us they're really interested in glamping, going out and really experiencing different types of accommodations. What that looks like for Campgrounds of America are deluxe cabins with linens and kitchenettes and bathrooms, safari tents, cabooses, yurts, tree houses, anything that is very unique, but also amenity filled. Please go and visit us at KOA.com where you'll be able to see inventory and make a reservation.
If you're planning your upcoming trip for the summer, you really got to look at a destination that's going to be unique, it's going to be exciting, it's going to be new, it's going to be fresh, and we think St. Kitts has got that for you. So, you know, if you're looking for somewhere that's going to be on your bucket list, we definitely want to welcome you to St. Kitts. And when you get to St. Kitts, it's one of those destinations where you can go and fly and flop, or if you don't want to do that, there's a lot of activities that you can take advantage of. And we really want to encourage the visitors to go and venture deeper, so you can take advantage of hiking in our rainforest. And we're actually one of the only rainforests that's actually expanding rather than contracting. And within the rainforest, there's Mount Liamiga, the 3,000 feet high volcano, dormant, of course, that you can go and hike up. And, you know, it really is a really great experience. And in addition to that, you can go ATVing in the rainforest and also take advantage of a zip line experience. For more information, please visit our website. It's called visitstkitts.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Al and Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, happily filling in for Alan today, who's on assignment. And wonder of wonders, this is so cool. One of the magic things about talk radio. We have someone who is at the RNC convention right now. Can't wait to talk to her. Her name is Angie Wong, columnist and co-host of Final Countdown Radio Show. Angie, good to have you with us here on the Al and Nathan Show.
Hey, thank you, Karen, for having me on.
Well, just tell us, what are your impressions? What an eventful, emotional beginning to the Republican National Convention last night.
I mean, all of the playbook was thrown out. This is not your conventional convention whatsoever. Everything happened on day one. Who knew we were going to get a VP pick, that President Trump was going to show up? And, I mean, none of this usually happens on day one. Day one's supposed to be the lightest day. You're supposed to relax, kind of settle in to your convention and meet everybody. No, it was like full on.
Hit the ground running a whole new meaning, doesn't it?
It really does. But anything with President Trump, especially with on the helm of Laura Trump, ahead of the RNC, you know, they got things kicking in full swing. It was great to see the Trump family out in full force. It was just such a positive vibe. I think all the delegates and alternate delegates and guests, we know that the stakes are very high for this election. And I know campaigners say that every single election, but this particular election, given what has happened, what we've seen over the years to President Trump, we know that the stakes are high. And so we felt the gravity of that yesterday.
I can't think of any higher stakes. Based on what happened on Saturday, many people predicted, God forbid, that it might happen. And I can't imagine that it happened, that the timing was accidental. And I can't help wondering if the thank God survival was helped a little bit by the above. What did you think of the VP pick and any other impressions that you have either last night or going into the rest of the week?
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't believe in God as of this weekend, I think we all believe in God now because that was quite a miracle. And I thought the VP pick was quite interesting. I mean, I was we were a little bit shocked by it. I was, at least, because I wasn't sure that President Trump would go with such a freshman senator. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're spending 24 hours a day with this person next to you. And he needed to choose someone he was very comfortable with on a personal level. So I think this made a lot of sense. I like the young energy that this new team brings. If you saw who President Trump was sitting next to yesterday, Byron Donalds, Mike Johnson, J.D. Vance, it all gave such a young energy.
And Tucker Carlson.
And Tucker Carlson. Who Fox News had to talk about.
Well, it's good because I don't think I wasn't watching Fox News, but I love it. So that's a great thing because I wasn't watching Fox News. So Fox News had to talk about the guy, the golden goose that they tried to kill.
Correct.
Figuratively speaking. And another there's so many observations. One is that you've got a lot of people, including a couple of the speakers last night, which I just loved. I hope they do much, much more of that. People who were not immediately convinced that Trump was a good guy. They weren't buying into the Trump is Hitler insane pathological rhetoric. But at the very beginning, they didn't exactly, you know, jive with Trump. J.D. Vance being one of them and Tucker Carlson being another.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, some of the speakers we saw last night, they were incredible. They were like the MAGA superstars. We get that. But it was the common man that came up, the single mother that came up, the guy who's working three jobs. And even Amber Rose, who I've never heard speak before. She's the model that flipped. It burned my heart to hear them and hear their stories. And you know what? This morning we had a breakfast with one of Trump's pollsters, and those were the messages that really affected people. I think, you know, again, we have the great big MAGA stars up on stage, but I want to hear from the common man.
Well, and the other thing that is so amazing is the script is being flipped in an extraordinary way. When the head of the Teamsters comes on the stage at a Republican National Convention, which he rightfully said had been 126 years, never, and people are talking about working class people, which used to be the domain of the Democrats, you know that a sea change has happened.
Oh, yes. And we felt that. Look, I was sitting next to one of the representatives from Florida yesterday while that speech was happening. It was weird. We were expecting him to do a full force, Sean O'Brien, to do a full force endorsement for President Trump. He almost got there. It wasn't all the way there. And then it became a big, big speech. And I loved it. I thought it was great. A little too long, but, you know, we might have been looking at the next labor secretary or something.
Well, he was trying to advocate for his cause before a massive audience. So it makes sense. But for me, because I didn't agree with some of the things he said, it gave that same impression of the big tent. Like, let's face it, there's a lot of people in the so-called big tent that I'd like to see, you know, smoked out or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't mean literally. I didn't know what reference to use, that I'd like to see exposed. But they have been exposed. The people like Nikki Haley. I'm sure Liz Cheney is not coming to the RNC, nor is Mitt Romney. But we have a lot of people who Trump and his presence has exposed for the elitists that they really are. I came to a conclusion after watching last night. I have friends who talk about rhinos. I don't think it's rhinos. I think it's elites. It's the elites that are making money off politics, and they have totally lost touch with the people they're supposed to represent.
That's the perfect assessment. Let's just call them elite rhinos then. Like, it's funny because when they were doing the roll call, Mitch McConnell came up to represent his state. They cut off his mic. They cut off his mic. He couldn't. No one heard him. It was awful. Like, I felt sorry for him. But no.
I haven't felt sorry for Mitch McConnell in a long time. Yeah, and it is amazing that not only Trump had to deal in his first term, we hope, with Democrats leaking on him, framing him. But he had a whole lot of Republican elites that he had to deal with, too, that were sabotaging him from behind the scenes. So if that isn't clarity of purpose, I don't know what is. Tell everybody how they can find you, follow you, because, boy, what fun you must be having. Angie Wong.
We're having an amazing time. Thank you guys for covering this. I thank all the media for covering this. It's a historical event. Look, we were supposed to come. They wanted us to come to his funeral. Instead, we're nominating Donald Trump on the ticket.
Olivai, that's Yiddish for, yeah, baby. Thank you, Angie Wong, co-host of the Final Countdown radio show. Well, we are moving right along. I'm going to have some more thoughts, privately, personally, professionally, after this break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
With endless sunshine and warmer days, summer fun means entertaining more often. When planning, experts suggest simplifying your food and wine menu. Winemaker Chris Luton and executive chef Peter Janiak, St. Francis Winery and Vineyards, share their expert advice and recipes found on the website.
I would pair with light, crisp white wines such as a Sauvignon Blanc or Chardonnay, salads, seafood, grilled vegetables. With a full-bodied red wine such as Cabernet Sauvignon, I think that goes really well with heavier dishes such as steak or lamb.
The asparagus pairs great with our Sauvignon Blanc. Those bitter notes really make the fruit-forward Sauvignon Blanc shine. Our corn and coconut bisque is great with our Sonoma County Chardonnay. With our Sonoma County Cabernet Sauvignon, I like a grilled hanger steak. I use a green tomato chimichurri to give a little brightness and herbaceousness to the pairing.
For these recipes and more, visit stfranciswinery.com/summerpairings.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Did you know that you can now save even more when you shop with Amazon Access this summer? Amazon Access is your one-stop shop to learn about programs, discounts, and features that make shopping on Amazon even easier and more affordable, like shopping select grocery items with Snap EBT or getting 50% off your monthly Prime membership with Prime Access. And now, Amazon Access introduces Access Discounts, a new program that offers exclusive discounts and deals to qualified customers. Visit amazon.com/access to learn how you can save 15 to 20% on select groceries and everyday essentials from brands like McCormick, Starkist, Frank's, Poise, Water Wipes, Depend, and more. Shop shelf-stable groceries, coffee and espresso products, condiments and seasonings, personal care items, and more at just a fraction of the cost. Save big with Amazon Access this summer and visit amazon.com/access to learn more about Access discounts today.
Just in time for summer patio season, a new quarterly report from Square is examining the state of the restaurant industry with some surprising results. Mingtai Ha, head of restaurants at Square.
Diners have made some changes since before the pandemic, choosing to spend more on the weekends than they did before. And despite remote and hybrid work, happy hour is more popular than before 2019.
The additional rush means more money for restaurants, which is important as labor costs increase. Since 2017, average hourly earnings for restaurant workers have gone up 66%. But some restaurants, like quick service establishments and cafes, have actually seen payroll costs go down.
Bars and full-service restaurants rely more on higher-skilled employees who perform hard-to-automate tasks, which increase payroll costs. It's the exact opposite for QSRs and cafes. They can more easily leverage technology to automate and streamline operations, helping lower operating costs for front and back of house.
Learn more at square.com.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and I am honored to be filling in for Alan on the Main Street Radio Network. We have an open segment, and I wanted to use it in order to just throw out some of my thoughts, because as I mentioned earlier in the program, it's almost palpable that what happened on July 13th, and it's interesting, J 13th or July 13th has surpassed the phony, fraudulent smear of J6. I doubt there will be Senate hearings that will be substantive about what exactly happened on July 13th to make it even remotely possible that Trump could have died that day. I think it is reasonable and fair to question everything that we're told about that day. It is not, don't let anyone ever tell you it is a sin. It is a threat. It is something terrible to have an independent mind and to question everything. It is the American spirit, which they are trying to kill, that causes people to think independently, to question independently, and to debate and discuss freely, to disagree freely without resorting to political violence, which is exactly what a certain party and its allies have been trying to provoke in this country for much too long. When there is no accountability for serious crimes, high crimes and misdemeanors, not the phony fraudulent ones that they tried to smear with Trump when he wasn't even a president anymore. They were still trying to impeach him. Does that tell you about desperation? I mean, it's hilarious in a sick sort of way. But high crimes and misdemeanors, committing crimes against our country and our people that constitute high crimes, not just for one person who Biden was called a puppet by one speaker last night, and I'm so glad he did, because most people since the debate have finally recognized that they've been lied to about Biden. But let me not make this about Biden. So much is going on, and I expect it to be highly emotional, profound, and I hope to God that people don't forget it all the way to November, because November in politics is decades away in terms of politics. People have short memories. There's lots of time for the propaganda media to spin it. If they can spin October 7th in Israel, that was Israel's 9/11, and to turn Israel into the persecutor, the bad guy instead of the victim in that horrifying scenario, anything is possible. And in the environment we're in, anything is possible. But what I really am struck by is that friends, colleagues, and others were unbelievably moved. How can you not be, unless you're a stone, at the strength, the defiance against evil, the clarity after having almost been killed, shot in the head, wounded? Does this man stand up with his fist in the air, wanting to continue this rally and making it abundantly clear that he intends to fight to the bitter end, and he wants everyone else to too. Not for themselves, because he is not fighting. I don't care how much you may think Trump is an egotist. He didn't have to do any of this. He could have, and he says it, he could have had the cushiest life there was, but he loves his country. So to model that kind of strength and resilience is kind of an irony in a way. And here's what I mean. Here is a man who is modeling for not only his supporters, but for the world, the country and the world, what strength and courage in the face of adversity really looks like, and encouraging and inspiring people who've supported him all along in knowing what it's going to take to win in November. And to return America to the very kind of place that produced a Donald Trump in the first place. Think about it. Donald Trump is a product of the free market, the adherence to meritocracy, the awareness of individualism, accountability, and a strive towards excellence that the communist left that has had a foothold in this country for much too long has tried to snuff out. And people know instinctively that Donald Trump is fighting that above all else. Yes, we can talk about the economy, which is deliberately has been used to impoverish everyday Americans, using American tax dollars to send illegal criminal aliens to all parts of this country so they can terrorize law-abiding citizens and vote in the next election. It's a travesty, and it is a horror in its own right. And these are the things we know. So you can talk about the economy, which is important. You can talk about the illegal aliens, which is important. You can talk about issues. But beyond issues is a deliberate attempt to take down America. And that's what Trump supporters understand about this man, Donald Trump. That's what they understand. It is so much bigger than any one issue. It is so much bigger than a typical presidential campaign. The Democrats would have you believe that this is just another election while they incite people to violence so they can hold power. They are willing to put innocent lives in danger so they can hold power. They're willing to create hate and division and horrors in our cities so they can hold power. And wasn't it encouraging and a little shocking in a great sort of way that the head of the Teamsters came to a Republican convention to talk about the working man? That is only one of the groups that the left has forgotten. They haven't just forgotten it in a way of Joe Biden who can't remember anything. No, they've deliberately dismissed them as not important anymore, as they have deliberately dismissed every American from every walk of life. It is brazen and it's astonishing how they've become everything they've accused their opponents of being. This cannot be stressed enough. They used lecturing about racism and bigotry to become the biggest racists and bigots on the planet. What I really want to know, and I put this tweet on my Twitter page, I invite you to take a quick look at it, is that yesterday in the convention, everyday citizens were encouraged to be mouthpieces in your sphere of influence. Talk to people everywhere you can. Don't worry about being so doggone polite. You know, yes, be polite. You don't have to be hostile and mean and ask questions. But yes, it's time to challenge people who have been brainwashed by this propaganda media and this radical left that is willing to do anything to hold power. The tweet that I put out there, and there is an optical illusion, which you can also take a look at. Go to my Twitter page, Karen Cataline, at Karen Cataline. It's spelled Karen the normal way. Yes, I'm a white middle-aged woman who complains a lot. And Cataline, Katalini, at Karen Cataline is my Twitter page or my website. And go there, if you can, and look at that optical illusion of what it looks like, what it appears, what you think it may be. And the headline is, now that you see that you were lied to about Biden for 4+ years, do you still think the same people were telling you the truth about Trump? That's what I hope you will ask your friends and family who still think Trump is, God forbid, Hitler. What a disgrace to call a good and decent man who loves America a Hitler. It belittles the memory of the Holocaust and everything that happened. These people don't know the difference between good and evil. It's time for us to remind them. That is my current thought. We have one more guest before the end of the show. Don't go away. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
During a divisive year, a sausage company is attempting to fix the internet. You heard that right. Johnsonville's new Keep the Internet Juicy effort aims to give content featuring human kindness and togetherness its fair share of the spotlight on social media. After a survey conducted by the Harris Poll found that 89% of Americans wish social media was less negative, Johnsonville hopes to make the internet a more positive place. The company is collaborating with other brands, celebrities, and influencers to help spread more feel feel-good content. People are encouraged to join the action using the hashtag #KeepTheInternetJuicy. Jamie Schmelzer, Senior Director of Marketing, Johnsonville.
Keep the Internet Juicy is about giving positive stories their fair share of the online spotlight because they inspire more human kindness. 92% of Americans said seeing people do good things for one another makes them want to do positive things for someone else. We're kicking this thing off, and we need lots of help.
For more, visit keeptheinternetjuicy.com.
The United States Mint is excited to announce a historic collaboration with Warner Brothers Discovery Global Consumer Products to launch a new coin and metal series celebrating comic book art as a uniquely American art form featuring DC comic book characters. Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman are the first three DC superheroes to launch the coin and metal series, releasing in the summer of 2025. Now through Sunday, August 11th, the U.S. Mint invites the public to vote for the additional six DC superheroes they would like included in this special series. Public participation ensures that this multi-year series represents and reflects the most beloved of the DC superheroes. The U.S. Mint has a long tradition of producing coins and medals that honor American values, icons, and significant moments in history. This alliance with DC acknowledges the role of comic art in reinforcing American ideals. To vote for your favorite DC superhero and for more information, visit usmint.gov/DC.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about one in four car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline. On a historic, people say that all the time, but it's true, historic week of politics. And it isn't just politics. It's about the direction this country will go, and the choices are extreme. Will we follow our Constitution, return to our roots, or will we become a communist hellhole? That is not an exaggeration. We are going to wrap up the show with a pro-life Christian obstetrician and vice president and director of medical affairs at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Her name is Dr. Ingrid Skop, and we're happy to have her on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Dr. Skop. Good to have you along.
Hi, Karen. Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Good to have you. So there is a new study challenging the evidence-based claims of induced abortion. First, we got to define induced abortion because we all think we know what that is, but you're a doctor. And then tell us about this study, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So the term abortion medically could refer to any pregnancy loss in the first half of pregnancy. So it can be a spontaneous abortion, what we know as a miscarriage, or induced abortion is where an outside action is taken with the intent of ending the unborn human's life. So, of course, most people, when they hear abortion, they're thinking induced abortion. And in the wake of the Dobbs decision, as many states have begun to implement protections of that unborn life, many abortion advocates have begun making a statement that abortion is necessary health care, trying to mainstream it and trying to imply that these states that are protecting the unborn's life are putting the life of the mother at risk. This, of course, is untrue. Every state that restricts abortion allows an exception if an abortion is needed to protect the life of the mothers. But there's been a lot of confusion, a lot of gaslighting over the issue, and that's why we wrote this paper examining these statements.
Well, of course, you know, if you don't get what you want, you just expand the definition, right? For like, what, 40 years or more since Roe v. Wade, the left has been talking about in cases of rape or whatever examples, exclusions to be made, and a much smaller, tiny group of people where many people don't think that there is any danger to a woman to have carry a pregnancy to term. That's not correct either, right? There is sometimes a danger. Isn't there?
Right. The reality in this world is that, of course, every action we take, driving to the grocery store, does have a certain
right.
degree of risk. And, of course, bearing a child can lead to risk, and abortion can lead to risk. But there's a couple of things to be aware of. In our country, there is no federal database that has any mandatory information about abortion. We don't even know how many abortions occur. We don't know how many complications occur, and we don't know how many deaths occur. And so what we're seeing is in this dearth of good quality information, the abortion industry has published a lot of studies painting their product in a very rosy way, but there are ways to get better quality data. And when you look at this data, you actually see there is much more harm to women from abortion than the abortion industry, not surprisingly, is telling us. But this claim about evidence-based has a very specific definition in medicine. So this implies that we're looking at high-quality studies, and there are four criteria that must be met. The patient must have an illness. Well, right there, we have to ask ourselves,
yeah.
what are we saying
right.
about abortion? Because more than 95% of abortions are healthy mothers and healthy babies. There is no illness involved, and they're for social and financial reasons. So are we saying that an undesired pregnancy a priori is an illness? Well, need to explain that. I mean, obviously, there are ways that we can help women with social and financial problems that don't involve killing a human being. So these studies, you know, from the very get-go, any study that's done on abortion bypasses the question of illness entirely and goes, you know, instead and says, well, let's look at outcomes. But even then, the outcomes are not well but defined. Typically, studies will compare maybe one method of abortion to another, again, using that poor quality data to indicate that, well, this method seems to be safer than that method. But no one really is examining that essential question. does a woman who finds herself in a problematic pregnancy, is it in her best interest to have this abortion? Or could it be that continue the pregnancy with support, and there are 3,000 pregnancy centers in our country that would love to support a woman, could that lead to better emotional outcomes? And so we're not really looking at that question. We're making an assumption and just rushing right into which is the best way to kill that unborn child. And leaving in the wake, we're leaving devastated women. We're leaving women with mental health complications, regret, families broken, men who don't have the opportunity to become fathers because both members of a couple may rush into this action thinking, well, that sounds like a simple solution to our problem. So if we care about women, we really need to go back to the drawing board and say, let's design some good studies and find out the answer to these questions.
Well, Doctor, you and I probably disagree on the one size fits all. You know, persuasion is one thing, but I wish there are certain issues I wish the government would stay out of. I'm okay with states making determinations. I was okay with the repeal of Roe v. Wade. It was mischaracterized enormously as to what it would do, and people are only now beginning to understand. But are you telling me that the left is going or is trying to characterize all abortions as medically necessary and required for the life or health of the mother? Is that where they're going with this now?
They are trying to paint it, because it is a medical procedure, they're trying to paint it as health care. And so there's a couple of things to think
about.
They've
been doing that for decades.
Right.
Yeah.
So one definition is maintenance and restoration of the health of body or mind. Well, a pregnancy is a sign that a woman is healthy. I mean, pregnancies occur. That is a normal feature of the reproductive system. When it's working the way that it should, a pregnancy occurs.
Oh, goodness.
90% of obstetricians don't do elective abortions. If it were
we are just getting started, but we have to leave it there, unfortunately. Tell everybody how they can find you and learn more, because you have a lot to offer. Dr. Ingrid Scop.
Yes.
Yes.
Lozier, L-O-Z-I-E-R, Institute.org. You can find our new study. You can find a lot of details about this information that we've discussed. Thank you,
Thank
Karen.
You so much, Doctor. We appreciate it. That does it for this hour of the Ellen Nathan Show. Thanks for being with us. Take care.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.